I was thinking about it as Brother Allen was praying that you just never can run out of reasons to thank God, can you? When we're brought together in His providence here on this earth to worship Him in the midst of His people, it is truly a foretaste of glory divine. My heart says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Turn back, if you would, with me this morning once again to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. As we saw last night, I hope, God promised His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a seed. A seed for His successful suffering and obedience. And as a reward for His victorious cross death, He is assured a generation. That's what verse 30 says. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. And as John says there in 1 John 3, this seed will always remain in Him, and in Him is no sin. But I want us also further to notice some more things that He says here about the seed of Christ. How is it that He says that this seed will serve Him? Look down in verse 31. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Now this morning, very quickly, I just want to point out a few things that He says concerning this seed of Christ. And the very first thing that it seems that it says to me is in verse 31, He says, they shall come. And that says to me, as it does oftentimes in this book, that if they shall come, then they will leave something. They will forsake something. And these that are the seed of Christ, they will leave their own way. They will leave their own imagined righteousness. They will leave their works, their will, their false religions. And they will leave what they once thought was right about God. You see, that's what repentance is. Repentance is repentance toward God. And when the Lord brings His seed, He brings them to repent of and forsake all their false notions concerning who God is and how He saves sinners. Hold your place here and turn over to Isaiah 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, he says in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And I know that oftentimes in religion, we get an idea that such persons who are described here are the out and out blatantly immoral and wicked. But that's not simply who he's talking to here, because all of those who seek their own will and their own way and who trust in their own works and their own ideas of righteousness and what they think is right about God, they are the wicked. And he says, let all of them forsake their own ways, forsake their own ideas, and do just exactly like what Paul did. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. The amazing thing here about what Paul is saying here in Romans 3 is that he is not talking about how he once killed somebody or how he once did drugs or was an idolater or an adulterer or something like that. He is confessing and repenting of what he thought gave him acceptance by God. Listen to him here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. In other words, he's saying here what every preacher, almost in every church in this country, would like to have as a church member. That's what I was. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me? They were not gain to God. That which is highly esteemed of men is an abomination to God. He says, that which I counted gain to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I count everything that I once trusted in, that I once boasted in, that I once hoped in, I count it now as nothing. I count it now as sin. And the very best that I could do, and the very best that I thought I was, I'm brought to know that in God's sight, it was altogether vanity. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, if you remember, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy, He describes his past in this way. He said, I was before a blasphemer. He doesn't say I was before a Christian and I just came into the doctrines of grace, or I was really a believer. God really saved me all those years ago in that old revival meeting or something like that, even though I hadn't heard a clue of the gospel, didn't have any understanding of the scripture. He said, I was before a blasphemer. I was before an injurious person. I was before a persecutor. I was before ignorant. I was before an unbeliever. And one key characteristic of these who are the seed of Christ, he says, they shall come. And there is no doubt that when they come, they will each and every one leave everything else but Christ behind. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 43. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons up from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. They shall come. And they shall come not only because God says that they all shall come and leave everything else but behind, but also because this one who is spoken of here, the shepherd, he said, I'll bring all of them. He looked at those that he spoke to and he said, other sheep have I that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. When those Pharisees refused to hear what he had to say, refused to believe on him, he didn't get real upset and disappointed that his work would be a failure, that his word would be rejected. He simply said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. He says here, they shall come. And they will not stop short of coming to him who is the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come to Christ by God-given faith. I like what somebody did with that word faith. I think you call it an acronym. F-A-I-T-H. Somebody said, that stands for forsaking all. I take him. And that is exactly what's being said here. They shall come, every one of them, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll come to believe on him and to trust him alone, and to rely on him, on this one who is outside of themselves and apart from their works, and they will, every one, be found at his feet. In the 14th chapter of Romans, Paul makes a statement. And it's in a context that if you're not really careful, you'll kind of miss it, because in that verse, he makes a statement of a principle. This is what he says. He says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, you know what preachers in our day and probably a whole lot of other days say that means? That means if you can do something believing, it's not a sin. If you don't have faith in doing it, then it's a sin. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's saying is, anything that you receive, anything that you possess, anything that you trust in, any righteousness that you might imagine that you did not receive as the gift of God through that faith that he gives, is sin. And you know what that means? That means everything else but Christ is sin. That's what he's saying. Everything you do is sin. Everything you think is sin. Everything you imagine is sin. Everything you depend on in yourself is sin. Everything whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And they shall come, every one of them. They shall be brought. Paul saying later in Galatians, in reminding of this very thing, he says, and the law is not of faith. Not going to be your obedience. It's going to be his. And they shall everyone come. They shall everyone come to Christ. They are pictured as a long line being brought out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, a host making a pilgrimage, not to Mecca, but to Jesus Christ. They shall come, and they are always found coming to him. And though they cannot, as he said, come of themselves, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Somebody said, well, why are you always preaching Christ? We preach Christ because everyone who is taught of the Father, everyone who learns of the Father, will be taught the things concerning Christ. And when he teaches them, he says, hey, everyone come. Every one of them comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But lest we imagine that this is merely an external kind of coming, he shows us, if you look back in verse 31 of Psalm 22, he shows us the second thing. He says, they shall come and they shall declare his righteousness. Do you see that? That's what the seed do. They shall declare his righteousness. Jeremiah says, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And he says the same thing concerning the very church of the Lord Jesus Christ a little later. And this is the name whereby she shall be called. What is it? The Lord, our righteousness. That's the name. And that is the declaration of all the true people of God, everyone who is brought by the Spirit of God to believe on Christ, this is what characterizes them. They shall declare his righteousness. And I hear a lot of people talking about righteousness. But most of the people I hear, they're talking about their righteousness. And if they're not talking about their righteousness at that moment, they're talking about something that God does in them that enables them to be righteous by what they do. Paul said in Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I can't figure out. I remember, this has been some years ago, I remember hearing your pastor spoken of in this way. Somebody said, "Well, he's got a lot to say about righteousness." And this is what I said. I said, "Yeah, and anybody else who preaches the gospel has a lot to say about righteousness. Because the seed shall declare his righteousness. Because the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's righteousness. And these who are the seed, they are those who declare his righteousness, that God is just to justify them and declare them righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ through the cross." Turn over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And look down at what it says in verse 17. Because he's talking here about the children of God. He's talking about this seed of Christ. What does he say? "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." I'll be honest with you, that thought has floated me quite a bit of late. But look at that last statement. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me." Not only is their heritage the fact that they shall be protected and delivered, that they shall rise up and stand against their very accusers in the day that God appoints. But this is their heritage. Their righteousness is of me. How is that? Well, when Paul writes in Romans 5, he declares this very thing. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, how is anybody made righteous? What is it that these seed say when they declare that they declare his righteousness? Well, they say this: "Just as by one, the many were made sinners by the disobedience of one." And what that actually says is this: by the one disobedient act, the many were made sinners. You know when that was, don't you? In that garden. He likewise parallels that and says this: by the one act of obedience, the many were made righteous. Now you tell me, which act that was. It was his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, when Paul writes in that most well-worn verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, he says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He didn't say by him. He said in him. And he is talking about how that Paul writes the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 when he says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, we've been in Christ a long time. But having been in Christ a long time, we are most especially and most closely connected to Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And therefore in him, we are made the righteousness of God. I told your pastor, we were talking, if I had one thought, I earnestly and I sincerely believe that it cannot be spoken enough, that it cannot be talked about enough, that there are so many things to obscure it to our eyes, to lure us away from it. But when you hear that scripture say that it is God that justifies, that is, that declares his people righteous, he follows that immediately with this: it is Christ that died. How far did our race fall when we fell in Adam? Well, as we say in Eastern North Carolina, we fell plumb to the bottom. We fell so far that we could never, ever get ourselves out. We fell so far in violation to God's command that we could not ever in any way go back and redo or get a second chance. He said, "The soul that sins shall what? Die." That's how we're made the righteousness of God in him. That is, that God, we declare that God was right, that he is right, that he is just to save us, to bless us, to help us, to give everything to us. Because he did it through the dying of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare his righteousness. We declare that we are those of whom the apostle describes in this way. He said, "They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God." If you have any association with God, you think by some link in the flesh. Let me warn you this. That includes even being related to, married to, friends with, even the true people of God. But he says they are not the children of God, which are the children of the flesh, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. He goes on to say, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, Christ is called the seed, singular. And when Christ is called the seed, singular, all His people, all those members of His body, all those stones in that building of which He's both the foundation and the capstone, every one of them being one with Him, are the seed also. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. They shall everyone come. They will leave everything and everyone, if necessary, behind. They shall come to Jesus Christ. They shall come and embrace His true gospel. They shall leave every false way, and they shall declare His righteousness. Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. They shall all come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like that woman who had an issue of blood. There'll be every obstacle possible in their way. There'll be friend, there'll be family, there'll be tradition, there'll be false knowledge, there'll be everything imaginable. But they shall all come and they shall all declare His righteousness. But what else does it say? It says that they shall declare that He hath done this. This is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You know, I get so tired of hearing. I was at a funeral for my uncle not long ago. And humanly speaking, I'd have to say he was a good man. And I entertained a little bit of hope that maybe he had some understanding of the gospel. But when they had the funeral, you know, you may not, I say this, a funeral says much more about the living than it does the dead. It shows much more in what the living trusted in, regardless of what the dead one trusted in. And it made me glad, brother, that if I get in such a situation that my family goes and buries me in a Catholic shrine somewhere, it won't matter about me. It won't change what I am in Christ, not one bit. But they just brag on it. They just brag on. They tell things that are lies about God, contradictory to God. They talk in ways of salvation that are just totally nothing but various forms of human works for human glory and all that. And the thought that came to my mind, they speak peace, peace. They tell lies. And he said, these people, they love to have it so. I had my wife by my side and a few others, friends of ours and fellow believers from the church, and we're just there as nervous and as anxious as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, and we hate everything that's being said, but everybody else, they love it. They love it. And I thought, that's so sad. Here they are here in all these lives, and they love it. But I'll tell you what the seed will say. They'll declare that God's done this. They'll declare what He had done for them. They'll declare what our brother preached last night, that it is finished. And wherever you find the true people of God, wherever you find the seed united and gathered together, they're talking about what He hath done. The psalmist in Psalm 29 says this, in His temple, he likens His temple, in the one hand, of a believer, and on the other hand, of the whole composite of believers, the church. But whether it is one or whether it's the whole group, he says this, in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. That's how I measure everything anymore. Is it glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ alone? In His temple, does everyone speak of His glory? They say, the Lord's done this. Paul writes in Romans 9, and he said, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd been as Sodom and been like Gomorrah. That's what it is. There goes me, but for the grace of God. The Lord's done this. He'd done it all. And it doesn't matter what it is in the matter of salvation, whether He's the one that chose us, He's the one that did it, whether He's the one that predestinated us, He's the one that did it, whether it's redemption, reconciliation, calling, doesn't matter what it is, it's the Lord that's done it. And not only that, everything that happens it's the Lord that's done it. Did your man get elected president? It don't really matter. It's the Lord that did it. It's the Lord that did it. I had a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture in my mind, and I kept running back to my mind, and you know, and speaking to Brother Tim, I think it was, and he, brilliant as he is, you know, he knew exactly where it was and told me, and I went racing back to it. Sure enough, said just what I thought it said. In Isaiah, he talks about God judging a nation and a people by taking away their good leaders and their statesmen and such as that. He goes down a whole list and shows that this is the judgment of God. And then he turns. And he says, but you can say this to the righteous. It's going to be well with them. It's going to be well with them. Doesn't matter. It's the Lord that's done it. It's the Lord that has done everything. And He says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You remember that old fellow that was so possessed of the devils in Mark chapter 5, had so many devils in him that they called him Legion. And the Lord Jesus Christ came where he was, living there in the tombs, and he ran out a raving, wild madman, and Christ confronted him, and the devils in him were forced to bow down and acknowledge him for who he was, and he cast them out. And he said, Lord, I'm going with you. I'm gonna serve you. I'm going with you. You remember what Christ said? He said, no. He said, you go down to your house and you tell them what great things God has done for you. That's what full-time Christian service is all about. It's where you live. It's where you work. It's among your family. It's before your children and your neighbors and your friends, telling them what great things God hath done. Confessing that salvation is of the Lord. And then he says this, they'll declare this unto a people that shall be born. Now I'm telling you what, preacher. We're not on a fool's errand. And not only preachers, but every believer, every one of God's seed in Jesus Christ, we're not here just simply to take up space and hold together the moments of time until Christ's coming, but to bear witness and to declare His righteousness and to tell what the Lord has done for us and for all His people to a people that shall be born. They're going to hear. I'll tell you, if that thought did not possess my mind, I couldn't make it as a preacher. I couldn't open my mouth. I make so many bungles and stumbles and see so little, understand so little, forget so much. But I know this, that this message of Christ crucified, this declaring of His righteousness, this telling men and women what God has done, we declare that to a people. They may not be the ones that we wanted, but they're a people, a seed that He says shall be born. You know, a fellow told me once after I got through preaching, he said, you know what, preacher? He said, really, when we preach the gospel to the least likely, we've really preached it to the most likely. And I thought, how profound. That's right. We declare Him and His righteousness. We tell what great things He hath done for His people in Christ unto a people that shall be born. I can't give them birth. There's one thing about it. You certainly can't induce labor on the new birth. But when our Lord stood before old Nicodemus, you know, I really believe that Nicodemus has been pretty well messed over pretty bad. And I don't have any doubt when the Lord's words to Nicodemus were that he must be born again, that he was talking about the necessity of the new birth. But I think he was really also meaning just exactly what he said. You must be born again. And that's why when the gospel is preached, we preach it to everybody. I don't have any qualms about that at all. I love to preach the gospel to everybody, as many as who'll come. I don't cull them out, just come. I've got one message for them all. Wherever I go, the same thing. It's so easy. I don't have to wonder if I should go there and preach or not. If God opens the door, I know I'm going, and I know what I'm going to preach. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And somewhere along the line, we'll preach him. We'll bear witness of him to one of those people who shall be born. They must. They must. One old preacher said, "Has that promise failed in its accomplishment? A seed shall serve him? Does not the Lord Jesus Christ still reign at God's right hand full of gifts and grace? And has he not promised to be with his church and people even to the end of the world? Thus, though it be perfectly true that a great bulk of mankind will follow after shadows, yet there are a few whose souls are really intent upon substance. If there are those who are given up to believe a lie, there are those that love the truth. And if there are those who worship they know not what, there is still the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this." This is something that God has done. And you can mark this down. In this day, in this actual day, is it November 15th? In this actual day, somewhere, someone, because God chose them, because Christ died for them, because the Holy Spirit has called them and begotten them from above, they will serve Jesus Christ. They will praise him. They will follow him. They will worship him. They will attribute all their salvation to him. They will glorify him. And I pray God, let it be me. I pray it'll be you. I pray it'll be this assembly. I pray it'll be the assembly that I pastor, that you pastor, others. Because somebody will. Somebody will. A seed will serve.